I'm super happy. Are you happy? Welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. Here you'll find tips and tricks to inspire you on your way to happiness, to live a courageous life of authenticity, and learn how to speak your truth with grace. I'm Michaela Johnson, and welcome to our podcast. Morning.
Good morning, young lady.
We are recording.
Awesome.
So the other day we were talking and I was thinking we should be podcasting on this stuff. And what we were kind of talking about was some of the stuff that's happening at the border. And we were talking about also some of the fears that I have surrounding how this year is going to play out in terms of the election. And not really wanting to necessarily remain in our country. And I was kind of saying, you know, in researching the Jews in the Holocaust, there were a collective of Jewish people that knew and saw what was coming. We could say they were awake. And they opted to leave their country because they knew that there was an attack happening on them. And they went ahead and packed up and they went to Canada and they went to France and they went to all sorts of other places and they survived.
Right.
Way prior to the full-on attack on the Jewish people. They saw it coming. And I think that what I feel more than anything is an all-out attack on Americans, in particular certain sects of Americans. And I'm not so sure that staying in this country is the wise thing. And that is, like, as a patriotic person, like a really painful thing to be feeling.
It's horribly painful to see that the laws of this country are devolved to the point where the government can literally go after anybody it wants to go after, whether you've done anything wrong or not. If you do not agree with the narrative, the storyline that they're telling us, they will put your ass in jail and make your life miserable. And whether you're right or wrong, you cannot afford to fight the government.
No.
Period.
No, because you're not fighting the government. You're fighting the Illuminati.
Right.
Scoot closer to me so I can set this phone down. Okay. Normally, I'm like in your lap, but I was trying to drink my coffee that you made, which you made with so much love and is so delicious. So the other thing that we were kind of ping-ponging on this morning is I see all this stuff people are posting about our border isn't secure. Our border isn't secure. People are bum rushing the Texas National Guard and all this stuff. And I'm like, guys, once again, can we zoom out? Can we pull back the lens a little bit and see that actually the Africans at the border did not walk there? They were delivered there. They were delivered by somebody who intended them to be delivered there. All of the pomp and circumstance that we are seeing at the border is a facade. It is for show. I cannot believe that people are still getting stuck in this. The border crisis. The border crisis is created to keep you distracted. What part of this are people not seeing? Those people did not walk to the border. They were delivered there to create chaos and pomp and circumstance. Our government might as well have just put them in a jumbo liner and dropped them off in America. They didn't do that.
They dropped them off in Mexico.
To create chaos and distraction.
Right.
I don't get how we are still buying into this crap. And this is where I really feel like I need to check out.
Yeah, I totally agree. It makes absolutely no sense. It's not just migrants from Africa. They're from the Middle East. They're from China, they're from, you know, all over the globe. They didn't come across the Pacific and the Atlantic Oceans in little fucking dinghy boats because they're fleeing persecution.
No, they did not.
They hopped on an airplane and they were delivered to Mexico and then they, you know, are storming the border. Why? What is going on that we're not seeing? Why this smoke and mirrors distraction?
Exactly. And we're so caught up in all of these little things that I really feel like we're not seeing the bigger picture. And And for me, you know, I was talking with my therapist about this the other day. I was saying there's been a handful of times in my life where I've packed up and left. And the first time was when I was 17 years old and I packed up and left and I went off to college. College was the thing, right, that I was kind of excusing for my behavior. But I knew I needed to do something different. And this is no offense to anybody in the small town that I grew up in. I went back to that small town and raised my son. But I felt like if I stayed, I was going to get stuck. I was going to get stuck in the place of not expanding my worldview. And that's great for some people. It wasn't great for me. I needed to go. And I remember my parents really struggled with that, but I knew I needed to leave. And I did. I packed up and I left. And I was processing that with my counselor and she's saying, well, you weren't escaping out of reaction. You were escaping out of intention, knowing that you needed to silence the voices of the people around you and go create something different. And I feel that right now so intensely that I need to silence what's around and create something different. And sadly, I don't see it being in America. I'm going to go shut this door, if you could hold that for a second.
Okay.
Out and stuff.
Right.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. I love you.
I love you. Your body is banging hot.
Your body is banging. I love your body. Oh my God.
And so, you know, what's really kind of discouraging is, you know, looking at like here in the U.S. and, you know, we're in California and California is known for being more communist than the rest of the states in the union. And just, you know, looking around at what people are doing and, you know, all the rules and regulations and laws that we're forced to live by. And this is one thing that probably 90% of the population does not understand. There is no point in the day at which you do not
violate
some law. Or you know, are committing a felony. If the government and the rules and the laws are written this way, if somebody wants to go after you, there is something they can go after you for that is a felony to throw your ass in prison. Period. It doesn't matter if you wake up in the morning, you take a shower, you've probably broken a law, either a federal or state law.
Before
10 a.m. Seriously, you know. And most people don't understand that. They think they're law-abiding citizens and they're going through life and doing all the right things. No. You commit multiple felonies throughout the day.
Yeah.
If the government wants to nail your ass to the wall, it will. And you cannot fight that.
So something that I have one millennial client. I don't take on a lot of millennial clients. We've talked about that in the past. Well, young 20s, I would say. And the reason is because I struggle to align and I don't want to do no harm. My oath is to do no harm. I do have one. She's an older soul. And she was talking very candidly in our last session saying, you know, my generation is wising up to what your generation fell victim to, which is, and she didn't say it quite this eloquently, but I'm putting it back this way. You were raised to believe you needed to work your ass off and buy a house and have kids, and both of you need to go to work to pay for that house and those kids. And my generation has decided that's a load of bull crap because we see you guys getting old and not getting to live the quote American dream. And also she's not from this country, I'll add. And she's like, I don't really want to play in to the game. And I see this with our boys too.
Mm-hmm.
They're not drinking. They're not smoking. They're not interested in that stuff. They see that it was all a part of the agenda to keep us sick and weak. And they're not buying into the go to college indoctrination, buy a house thing. They're going, no, I think I want to work a trade and be able to make my own hours and I want to enjoy my life.
Right.
Not when I'm too old to enjoy my life.
Right. And, you know, it's one of those things like when I was very young, you know, 8, 9 years old, something like that. I had the epiphany that it was all a lie. you know, my parents talked about saving for retirement and, you know, saving for this and saving for that. And it dawns on me that it was all a sham. I'm never going to be able to retire because it's all fake. Your retirement is an illusion.
They make money on you making money, so they're not going to let you quit.
And, you know, like,
you die.
And listen to my parents talk about, like, you know, the Social Security and the retirement system. If you die, your money's gone.
Yeah.
Your spouse doesn't get it. Your children don't get it. The government gets it.
Yeah.
And if you know, you don't willingly give it up, they will forcibly take it from you.
If you haven't put your house in a family trust or living will, it goes to probate and the government gets your house. You don't actually own a thing. You know, that whole narrative that Klaus had that was, you'll own nothing and be happy. We already own nothing.
We're already there.
I mean, I was talking to my mom about this the other day. I said, if you dig and you find a chunk of gold in your dirt, rest assured, you do not own that property any longer.
Right.
They will come and they will seize it, because if you actually go through your deeded documents, you don't own below 100 feet.
Some places you don't own below the surface.
Right, exactly.
And so if you buy a piece of property for $1 million and you don't actually own the fucking dirt, what are you paying that $1 million for? And your ground is worthless.
And this is what I've been struggling with. You know, obviously we have an opportunity here to buy something again. I recently sold a property. And it's like I'm looking at what is happening here in California as a state. And I'm thinking, a wise business person would not pay for a bunch of people to stand around the business and not even push a broom. They would not pay to have a bunch of dead weight that's not carrying, that's not delivering, that's not producing. They would not. They would fire those people from their business. And if I am a good business person, which I consider myself to be, then why the F would I own anything in California where I am paying for all this dead weight, for all these homeless? And I don't mean to criticize the homeless. I am sorry they have mental health issues. Frankly, I think they have demons. But it's not about that. It's about what I am creating for my family. It is not my responsibility. And I know that we have been conditioned to believe that it is our responsibility. No, it's not.
No, it isn't.
I pay 50% of my paycheck to taxes. And my family is starving and suffering because of that. And do we think that 50% is going to those homeless? No, it's going to the hands of the greedy evil who are not actually putting it to anything good in terms of social justice. That is not fucking happening. And so therefore, I'm not willing to buy into this state and pay for the dead weight.
No, it's stupid.
It's stupid.
And it's not just California. I mean, it's happening absolutely everywhere.
And it's not to say that I'm not a social justice warrior. Like, you know, we met up with my friend when we were down in San Diego, Nelson. He's freaking amazing. One of those people I love to have these kinds of conversations with. And he said, socially, I lean left, but I can't do that anymore. And that is how I feel. Like, mm-hmm. Socially, I want everybody to succeed. I want everybody to do well. I will hand you the coat off my back if you are cold. I will do that.
Right.
But that is not what's happening. That is what we are being told we are supposed to do. But I would rather go hand the coat directly to the homeless guy, because if I hand it to the government, it doesn't get back to the homeless guy.
No.
It does not. Somebody
in the government puts it on.
That's right.
And so, but it's like, you know, and I'm not like a super deep biblical guy, but in the Bible says that the Lord helps people that help themselves. If you are unwilling to get your ass out of bed in the morning and do something. I don't care if you're homeless. You could pick up fucking trash beside the road. It doesn't matter. Just do something.
I'm becoming a deep biblical person.
There's
a hat that says y'all need Jesus. I am very much becoming, because I see the bigger stuff that's playing out in terms of the evil demonicness that's behind the people
right.
in charge.
I see that too. And, you know, growing up in a pretty religious background, I'm very familiar with the Bible.
Yeah.
But I don't really spend a whole lot of time like going back into it, studying. I probably should be able to kind of extract more information. However, I know the difference between right and wrong, between good and evil. And I have no patience for people that are not willing to help themselves. If you can't get your ass out of bed and start doing something, fuck off.
Right,
you're
right.
You're not stealing my money.
What that really comes down to is survival of the fittest too. And in the Bible, it does talk about that. It does talk about gluttony. It does talk about, I mean, that kind of like, well, actually, I don't think it exactly does talk about the seven deadly sins. I think that's kind of a social construct.
That's a Catholic thing.
But the idea that you do need to put forth an effort. And if you look at it, I think that, sure, the mental health issues. It used to be when we were younger, you know, you'd see the handful of veterans on the street.
Yeah, there would be a handful of people here and there. You'd almost never see homeless people.
No, yeah, it was just a handful of beggars, and those were the ones that you could really go, you know, gosh dang, that's sad. Now what I see more of is people that are completely spun out on drugs. Where are they getting the drugs from? Oh, our federal government is actually giving them to them.
They're importing them right. from China.
Exactly. So
yeah.
When you start to see the trickle-down effect, and you know, one of the things that we've been even talking about lately is everything we've ever been told has been fabricated in some way. But the more recent thing that I'm starting to feel really irritated by is, and I've been doing this detox since August, the poison, the toxins that they are putting in literally our air, our water, and our food, is it has me feeling vile to a very guttural point where, you know, I've been talking with some people and it's like, there is no escaping it. Whatever they're doing in the air is interacting with whatever they're doing in the water, is interacting with whatever they're doing in the towers for the 5G. It's all interacting. Right. I have never felt so constantly ill in my life.
Me either. And, you know, one of the questions that people are asking is, why is the dust on your car magnetic?
Why is the dust on your car magnetic? Number one, let's start there.
Let's start there.
I'm about to start wearing a tinfoil hat, like a real tinfoil hat.
You know, they're seeding the clouds allegedly for, you know, to extract more moisture from the clouds, the atmosphere, so it'll rain and we have the water reserves. But that's bullshit. That's not happening. Why is this crap coming out of the sky? Why does it stick to a fucking magnet? Why, you know, this can't be good for us.
No, it's not good for us. And I consider, I mean, after doing this whole detox and everything and the dry blood analysis and all that stuff, and I'm literally feeling constantly like there is something, a pressure on my head, literal pressure, like zinging on my head. I can't get my stomach right. I can't get my sinus cavities right. There is just an all-out attack. I can feel something, it.
You know, I haven't felt good since, when did we go to Fairbanks? November?
November.
October, I got sick.
Yeah.
I have not felt, there's been a handful of days since October that I felt well, that I say, oh shit, I got this behind me.
And then something else.
And then something else. I have never been this consistently sick ever in my life.
And we don't even have the pokey wokey, the wokey pokey.
Right.
We don't even have that. Imagine the people that have that, that are dealing with other things like turbo cancers, etc., you know?
Yeah. And so it has me really unhappy with the way things are going, just because I don't feel good. I don't have any energy. Yeah. I don't have any drive. You know, it's all I can do to get out of bed in the morning and go to work.
Ambivalence
is a big. And I feel like crap all day.
Ambivalence is a big thing I've been struggling with, because for the first time I'm feeling the F yes on this kind of out of the country thing that we're looking at, this expatting stuff. But I have been so ambivalent because it's like, we're all just in limbo land waiting for the thing, and we don't even know what the thing is. And that is the way they keep you. This is how narcissists work.
Yeah.
It's that waiting for Christmas thing. Like, it's just around the corner, you know?
You're waiting for that Christmas miracle.
And it's not happening. And so it's like, do we start a business? Well, I don't know. Do we, you know, like you get yourself stuck in this kind of back and forth place of not really knowing what to do. And so you don't do anything at all. And ambivalence, I say, is one of the greatest killers in terms of depression and anxiety and all of that. That yeah. feeling like you're not doing enough, not sure what to do, so you do nothing at all. I mean, from an emotional standpoint, it is one of the worst things. It's like apathy, right?
Exactly.
There was something else that I wanted to talk about in terms of kind of all the things that we've been dealing with. And then the other one that's kind of been ping-ponging is the Trump thing, right? Like, is Trump part of the agenda, or is he really outside on the fringe? I don't know. I just struggle with the fact that there's so much divisiveness, facade, and pomp and circumstance that I struggle to think that he would not be a part of it. I don't want to think that. I want to think that he just somehow miraculously escaped the regime, made his money, and is truly just fighting to, like, keep things good. But I don't know.
You know, that's another thing that I struggle with as well. It's like, you know, I'd love to be supportive, but everything else we've been told is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And so why should we believe anything Trump says as well, when there's a pretty good chance that it's all make-believe? And, you know, it's like, you know, some of the stuff that comes out of Elon Musk's mouth. Yeah, it sounds good on paper, but what are his actions?
He's still putting chips in people's brains.
He's still putting chips in people's brains. He's got this whole Starlink internet system. He's now, you know, it came out in the past week that he's working with the Department of Defense to put spy satellites into low Earth orbit, a huge network like his Starlink. And it's like, well, fuck, this guy doesn't give a shit about freedom, because the government's going to watch everything we do via satellite.
Well, and Trump, you know, the thing about that, too, is if we go way back in Trump's archives, his grandfather was associated with all the Nikola Tesla stuff and zero-point energy or free energy. So it's all so much bigger and more expansive than we even realize. And the big thing that I wanted to mention that I'm hearing over and over again is from people that are fed up and are not going to pay taxes this year. And this is something I brought up 3-4 years ago. And mm-hmm. people said, well, what about the fire department? Well, what about your roads? Don't you care about that? It's like, I'm sorry. Again, if my money was one for one going to the fire department or going to fix the roads, that would be different. Back then, you used to vote on bonds, right? You would buy into a bond, and that bond would fix the thing that you wanted, and that is how your tax money was used. Now, we don't have a fucking say about where our tax money is going. And I'm sorry, but this year, I will probably have a $19,000 to $25,000 tax bill. Just me. Just for myself. That is not for my businesses. That is for my personal taxes. And they already took out at least that. More. Right. More. And I will have another $19,000 to $25,000 tax bill on top of it. Because now I don't own a house. And I'm not going to own a house because I'm seeing that bull honky. I mean, I still own land. But, the point is just that. The point is that. That money that I am paying is not going directly to take care of anything that I am ever going to see. And frankly, it's so far removed from my ability to have any say about it. Taxes were only supposed to be temporary during the World War. This is the TSA 9/11 crap, right? They create a big thing and then they create the solution, and the solution inevitably requires more control of you and more money out of your pocket, period.
Exactly. You know, and if at this point you don't believe that the 9/11 was an inside job, you've really got your head up your ass.
Yeah, it's so
apparent and evident that it was not a surprise. We knew everything that was happening. It's like Pearl Harbor, the Pearl Harbor attack.
Yep.
If, you know, history is written by the victors, you read between the lines, you read about what really was happening behind the scenes. Pearl Harbor was not a surprise.
No, they pulled all those certain ships out in the middle of the night before the...
Yeah, so the only reason... So, we'll take the Wayback Machine. The only reason the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor was because they wanted to sink all the aircraft carriers. They were in port on December 6th. Under the cover of darkness, all the aircraft carriers left Pearl Harbor, sailed out to sea, opposite the direction of the incoming Japanese fleet.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to run into each other. Early in the morning, December 7th, the Japanese spies wake up and they look out at Pearl Harbor and all the targets are gone. But they'd already launched airplanes from the ship and they couldn't stop the attack. And so what the Japanese got were a bunch of clanked out, roached out, useless fucking ancient ships built in the 1800s, and they sent them to the bottom of the Pearl Harbor, and we use that as justification to get our asses into World War II. And we never should have been involved with it to begin with.
Right, right.
And so...
Well, it wasn't even called World War II until then.
Right. However, you know, it's like they created a problem and then they created a solution. And then they, you know, gave us the income tax to help fund all this crap.
Mm-hmm.
And the income tax never went away.
It never went away. And it was supposed to be temporary. And, you know, if my money was going directly to where I thought it should go, that would be different. And if everybody was putting money to where they thought it should go, it would all work. Because things that aren't making sense or are, you know, like people standing around, 17 people standing around trying to saw one log down, wouldn't get funding.
Exactly.
Because people would say, no, that's a waste of my money.
Right. It's like, yeah, look at Caltrans. You got one guy down the hole with a shovel, and then a dozen people standing around fucking watching him.
Standing around watching.
What the hell? Really?
Yeah. And this is, yeah. So I don't want to leave my country, and I don't see how I can stay.
Yeah, it's a catch-22.
It's really sad.
It's pathetic.
And at the same time, I want to create what's best for the kids. I want to create what's best for us. And I'm just kind of over all of it. I'm over all of it. And I could deal with the what feels like the demonic attack on the nuclear family at every corner. But what I can't deal with is the nuclear attack on my body, right? Yeah. Like my human sovereignty, my human self. And, you know, one of the things that I have not talked about on this podcast yet is the option to go non-drinking in December, and something I find very fascinating. After a year of really going back and forth and reading books like Alcohol Explained and whatever, but what I'm finding really fascinating is the more that I'm being vocal about it, the more people are appearing in my life that are also non-drinking. And it makes me wonder... Is it just that I'm finding the people who are waking up to all the things, or is it that they had some sort of an allergic reaction or something like that, where it's almost like it was overdone and they see the ways in which it's poisoning us? I don't know, but I know when you walk into a grocery store, there is 72 aisles of alcohol and 2 aisles of meat and produce.
Right.
That's a problem.
And what's interesting, like we were in the grocery store last night, you know, what's kind of interesting to see is a lot of the larger alcohol companies are getting on board with the non-alcoholic beverages.
Yeah.
It's a noticeable shift in marketing.
Yeah, they're not missing this opportunity because they see what's happening too.
Right.
But it's interesting to see, and I'm really curious about the psychology behind it. You know, I can never shut off the psychology of things.
You know, that's really interesting. And we should delve into that a little bit. And I think, you know, what happened with me over the past several months, why I stopped drinking, is for me, you know, I liked rum, I liked beer. And it just stopped tasting good. It's like one day it's like, bam, it's like, oh my God, I can't get a tasty rum drink anywhere. It doesn't matter how much I spend on a bottle of rum or how little I spend on a bottle of rum. It all tastes bad.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The same thing with the beer. It's like, it doesn't taste good. And I'm not going to sit down and drink just to drink. That's not a good idea either. And so if it doesn't taste good, why am I doing it?
For me, it was a combination of seeing the ways in which anytime alcohol was involved, there was shame and guilt that followed in some level, or a really bad night of sleep, which I dislike. I love my sleep.
I still don't sleep well.
But it doesn't feel so bad. And
speak for yourself. I have no desire to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning worrying about shit.
Come on, let me get sex.
That is true. I love the 6 or 3 o'clock in the morning.
But no, I agree with
then
you.
That helps me go back to sleep.
And I know a lot of people that are waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning lately, too. I think that's another part of everything as well. But, you know, seeing the way it destroyed things in my family system and life, past relationships, stuff like that. And I don't even consider that I had a problem with alcohol. But what I noticed was it's progressive no matter what. You know, I could go 2 weeks and not have a drink and then have a drink. And then 2 weeks later, it's like, now I'm having a half a bottle. How did that happen? You know,
right.
And reading about it and really reading about the toxicity and what it actually does to damage your body. It's like, I'm working way too hard on all this detox and this and that, getting viral fungal yeast and all the EMF crap out of my body that I can't be sitting here, turn around and just poisoning it, you know?
Right.
So for me, that was a big part of it. But what you say is true. I was noticing I would go out to this. You saw this numerous times. We'd go out to eat.
Yeah.
I order a glass of wine. I'm like, Nope. And I just let it sit there. It's like, well, there was $9. That's a waste of money.
Totally.
And that kept happening over and over and over again. And I try something different and be like, well, maybe it's just I don't want a glass of wine. And then I try something else. Nope. There's another waste of $10 or $12 or whatever.
And so...
our dinner bills have been so cheap.
It's been amazing. But my question is, you know, what happened to make the alcohol or the drinks not taste good? What turned us off?
I'm fascinated by this. And it's not just us.
It's a lot of people
and,
that we
and
know.
And as soon as you open the dialogue, people are like, I'm not drinking too.
And so...
It's wild. I have friends, though, that have been longer than us, like a year, and I had no idea.
Yeah. And so it's like, what did they introduce into the environment? What are we eating, breathing, or drinking that has turned us off from... the taste of certain things.
And why is it that our, that at
and
least
And why is
me,
it happening with all these people all at once?
It seems to be our organic friends. It seems to be the friends that, number one, didn't take the poke or did, but eat really well or live really in healthy ways is what I'm finding. Like if I look around at the friends group, there's this group over here that's just kind of stuck in the stuff, whether they took the Wokey Pokey or not, and they're still you know, in the syrup. They're still, you know, soggy. And then there's a group of people that are like really vibing up. Like you can just really see them, like their skin looks better, they look better, they're more engaging to talk with.
Right.
And that's the thing is I never wanted to become judgy about it because I really don't have any desire to drink. And actually I've been through some really hard things in the past couple months that I thought would be moments where I would want to drink, and I have not. I have not, which is fascinating.
Yeah, totally.
But what's interesting to me is that I find the more that I'm removed from it, the harder it is to be around it. The smell of it, the way people act. I mean, I don't want to be a judgy person. I don't. But I would rather sit around the campfire and visit with some friends about like these kinds of things.
Yeah, totally.
Than get hammered and fall off the chair.
Yeah, that doesn't really get you far either. Anyway, the whole thing has just been really interesting. And I'm just, I don't really care if people drink or not. What's really fascinating me, has me really curious, is why all of a sudden did it happen? I mean, boom, like somebody threw a switch. All of a sudden it doesn't taste good. I'm really curious why all of a sudden it just stopped tasting good. I want to know what the hell is going on, either in my head.
Is it a mental process or is it a body process? Is it right? Is it physiological or psychological? Exactly. And that's what I wonder too, because for me it was a process over a year of starting to just be aware of what it was doing. It's almost like I was able to have enough space and distance from it to see the ways in which it was not serving me. For me, I'll be happy when I pass the 1 year mark. And I say that not because of AA or anything like that. For me, it's that when I birthed, you know, one of our sons, I was sober for 10 months, 40 weeks. So for me, passing 40 weeks is going to be that point in which I can say, okay, I did it, you know, because I did it once already.
Yeah.
You know, but it was a different mindset.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I don't miss it at all.
No, me either. I don't.
And I have no desire to go back to it, really.
What's even funnier is when we first started, I would want to fill that thing that made you feel like you were doing something different in the evening, like have a hop water or have an IPNA or one of those. And now I don't even really need that anymore.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting how it's like at first I was like, oh, I need a mocktail. And now I don't even really need a mocktail.
Yeah, because those fluids are expensive as well.
Yeah, and it doesn't, and you start to realize how it was that buzz, that dopamine hit that you get.
Yeah.
And when you're not getting the dopamine hit from the thing, then you don't need it like that.
And it's like, you know, my thought process is part of it is like, you know, why spend $12 for a 6-pack of fake beer, or you can spend $8 on a 12-pack of Coke. That makes no sense to spend that much money on something that has no alcohol in it either.
Right, right.
You know, whether it has alcohol in it or not, it's still the same price.
I found it interesting, though, that Blue Moon came out with an NA because I used to love when I'd work in the yard, I used to love to have a Blue Moon with a couple orange slices or Corona with some lime.
Mm-hmm.
Just one, not crazy, but I used to enjoy that. So I found that interesting. And I don't know, it's just weird, the shift. I mean, the shift is the biggest thing. And I think that people are starting to talk about it.
Yeah. What's really interesting, I'm kind of thinking as we're sitting here talking about stuff, it's, you know, I never drank anything until I was like 30.
Right.
And then I drank for 20 years, and then it's just, I have no interest in it anymore. It's like, huh.
I did that.
I did it for 20 years, and I'm retired from it.
I'm retired from that.
I'm on to something else.
But you know what's interesting is our friends that we were talking, that I was talking with about it, they're in their mid-30s. And I was really fascinated by that fact. You know, she was like, I just realized it's not serving us. It's not serving our marriage. And frankly, when we go out to the winery and sit there and get drunk, or go out to the brewery, because we used to go to the brewery that they went to.
Right.
And get drunk. She's like, nothing good comes of it. We end up usually fighting about something because we're both drunk, right, or whatever. And then, you know, all the things that go along with that. And I do think that it is part of the narrative.
Yeah.
It was part of the narrative. And it's like the barbershop. You hang out at a barbershop, you're going to get a haircut. You hang out at a bar, you're going to do something dumb. And I right. see it all the time in the work that I do.
Right.
And it's not good for the nuclear family. It's not.
It's not. Yeah, no, totally not good for the nuclear
family. I've always said, since you and I got together, you want to go out with your friends and you know, have a safety meeting and visit and whatever. I'm cool with that. But if you start going out to the bar until God knows however long, and that's a different thing. I'm not signing up for that. I'm not at the life phase where that appeals to me, and I don't want to be with someone that appeals to.
Yeah.
You know?
It's one of those things that has never appealed to me whatsoever.
And I loved that about you. That was something that drew me to you in the very beginning, was that, you know, you would, like you said, you'd go home and have a beer in the dark.
Yeah.
but I've never been a woo girl. I've never been the go out to the bar half naked and get attention and all that. And I wouldn't want you to sign up for that either.
Yeah, I have no interest in that at all.
I'll go with a girlfriend for a cup of coffee, or I'll go, you know, for a walk with a friend and do that. And that's fine. But that's, and it's like, okay, so is it a life phase thing, or is it just really waking up to all the things?
I think it's just part of, maybe it's just part of slowly waking up, you know. And you know, like prior to me, you know, stopping consuming alcohol, you know, we read like the whole, some of these alcohol books, and you know, I started paying more attention to my body and how it felt and stuff like that. And, you know, maybe the alcohol not tasting as good was, you know, part of it was psychological, knowing that every time I drank a beer or drank a rum beverage, that I was harming my body and not helping anything.
Yeah.
And maybe that was part of it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I was surprised at how quickly it went from tasting good to just be like, I can't drink this. This is horrible.
I definitely could feel the burn, and I noticed the burn was different in my head.
Right.
It wasn't that, ooh, yay. It was, oh God, I just like seared my esophagus.
Right.
Yeah. Fascinating stuff though. And I think the whole full circle on this is everything that we've been told is a lie, and there's no better time to reserve the right to change your mind when presented with new information.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, everybody needs to do their own research. They need to find their own truth. You know, we know what works well for us and what is working well for us, but that's not going to be the same thing. It works well for someone else. And, I'm having a brain fart. My mind just stopped working.
So I've been doing that this whole podcast too. And I've noticed in other things, I've been going through this as well.
And so,
and our friend that's a non-drinker told me she was researching a lot about that. And so you get clarity right after you stop drinking, and then your brain starts to try to redevelop the neural connections.
Yep.
And you lose things. And I find this fascinating, and it is something that has definitely been happening. I've even been noticing it with flying. It's like, yeah, brain farting on stupid stuff where I'm like, God, I know that. Why did I, you know, that's weird.
Your brain's rewiring itself. Anyway, so what I was trying to say is that, you know, I know there's several people that listen to our podcast. Hopefully a lot of people listen to the podcast. And, you know, we talk about a lot of different things. We present a lot of information. At the end of the day, you know, you need to do your own research, dig, you know, rabbit hole in this stuff yourself.
Take what you want, leave the rest. That's what Take I what say. You want, do your own research. Rest.
Do
yeah.
your own research. And, you know.
I used to panic, too, that, like, because I have clients that listen. It's like, oh, God, they're going to think I'm this. They're going to think I'm that. And at this point, I'm like, hey, I'm not buying into the left, right, liberal, conservative crap anymore. I'm saying step outside the matrix. That's what I am saying. And,
yeah, totally.
And if you hate me for that, that's okay. Well, we don't have to be in sphere together.
Exactly. And, you know, but anytime, you know, like any story that you read, any movie that you watch, there's always this battle between good and evil.
Yeah.
Okay? And so, you know, and different people pick different sides of the story they want to be on. And so when it comes to politics, and this is like a hot topic, it's been very divisive and very damaging to society here in America in general and the country in general. You know, you get the liberal left and the conservative right. And there is no such thing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's
two wings of one bird.
It's the same damn thing. And if you look at who donates to which party, the same big money donors donate just as much money to the left as they do to the right. Everybody wants to, you know, bitch about the liberals on the left want to bitch about the Koch brothers because, oh, they're conservative. No, they're as fucked up as George Soros.
It's Pepsi and Coca-Cola.
We're looking at, you know, there is no difference between the left and the right.
That's right.
All it's there is to create division. That's mm-hmm. it. That's the only purpose it has is to divide the country. Once you realize that, then all this other shit makes a little bit more sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not about Chuck Schumer and Adam Schiff going after Donald Trump and Donald Trump pushing back. No, they're all playing for the same fucking team.
Yeah.
The sooner you realize that, the sooner you're going to wake up.
The sooner you say, okay, I just need to make the most of my life and tap out of all of that.
Right.
And I am curious to see. I get weighted down with what is going to happen this year because I do fully believe from what I'm hearing that there are going to be a lot of people who are not going to pay taxes. We already know the IRS ramped up their gun-toting. I mean, this is going back to Wyatt Earp now.
Right.
I'm glad we watched that movie the other day. We're full on tombstoning here.
The IRS has, you know, 87,000 new gun carrying agents.
They have to match the gun carrying illegals that they placed in our country.
So it's like, okay.
Yeah, but it's going to revolt. There's no way it's not. I think we all know it on some level, and we're all just sitting and waiting. It's tombstone. We're all waiting for the first draw. That is what it is. Right. And it's going to be a bloodbath. I'm not so sure I want to be here for it. And that's not to say I'm a chicken shit pussy, but I'm just saying that I don't want to be here for it.
Right.
I would like to go eat some fruit and have a cow and fly my airplane. And that's kind of crappy to say because it's like, well, you got to fight then for what you want. But I don't want to. I don't want to.
Well, you know.
I can. I don't want to.
We can. And, you know, the founders of our country.
Did.
You know, they fought for their freedom.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they did.
And it's supposed to be our job to maintain that. And I think it's actually harder to maintain the freedom than it is to fight to get it to begin with. And
yeah, I think
we
you're right.
have sat back and we've just let it slip away.
Yeah.
And whether you want to believe it or not, the United States has become, in front of our eyes, without any pushback from its citizens, a communist country.
Yep.
Period.
100%. And some people like that.
And a lot of people like that's great. I'm not on board with that anymore.
Nope.
I need to get my ass in gear and get to work.
All right.
Because, you know, I've got to support homeless people.
We'll end there. This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out the links.